T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Alrighty, AMA, a segment we've been doing for a couple of years now with questions, Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways that people can interact with our show beyond just the regular phone line. And AMA today, sponsored by Dell Technologies. James Seltzer, what do people want to know?
Been doing it for like 4+ years now, actually.
About that, yeah.
Underselling our AMA.
Do you know we have crossed the 4.5-year threshold on our show?
Wow.
About 2 weeks ago. So I'm expecting big doings from Spike Eskin in about 5.5 months.
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
When we have our 5-year anniversary, I'm expecting some serious food in here, John.
Yeah, red carpet, the whole deal.
The whole deal. Yeah. The whole deal.
Usually when you say these things, I'm very like, no, Joe, this time I'm with you.
Hey, 5-year anniversary.
5 years.
Come on now.
That's legit.
Yeah. All right, James, what do people want to know?
All right, let's start off with one for you. Miguel Lipkos has noticed something that you do in our 5 years here.
What?
Almost 5 years. Miguel on Facebook asks, why does Joey refuse to use adverbs when he speaks? And why does John, who is a gatekeeper of the English language, never call him out on it? Just curious, enjoying the show from Seattle.
Well,
early on, I would call Joe out on a lot of these things, and I decided it made me feel wrong inside.
Wow.
I still think it. I still think it a lot, but I try to avoid sounding like the gatekeeper.
The grammar
of the
police.
Language.
All right, yeah. So let me just say that I didn't even know. I don't use adverbs. I mean, I don't know. I just talk, honestly. I mean, and just to refresh my memory, the adverb is something that supports the adjective, right?
No.
It supports the noun?
The verb.
The verb.
Oh, it supports the verb.
It modifies the verb.
So, I mean, yeah, I don't even know that
words that end in L-Y.
So I don't use words that end in L-Y? Well, I say wildly. You don't like when I say wildly. I say wildly, and then you get on my case for saying that's wildly absurd. So I try to use it, and then John tells me not to use it, so I don't know what to do.
Well, sorry.
Adverb usage is the least of my concerns with this show. I'll say that. James, next question.
Yeah, it's probably the least of our concerns, too. Good one on the text line. What is the most awkward encounter or interview you've ever had with a professional athlete?
It was Plaxico Burress, and this was when I was doing a TV show on Sundays from New York, and I had just crucified Plaxico for years. Previously when yep. I was working up at ESPN and NBC, it got mean. I mean, he was like my least favorite player.
I kind of liked him, by the way. I was
you did?
I did, but go
ahead. I always had something. Much like you with Carson,
became
escalated.
Your Carson Wentz is horrible.
Yeah, wow. It escalated, and of course, I don't know if you ever saw that stuff. But
yep.
Then one Sunday, you know, this was like the week after we had all the fathers of these quarterbacks in, and Nick Foles, his dad was there, and Nick got benched. That was a very unusual
wow.
situation, awkward situation there, where he was supposed to be celebrating his son in St. Louis,
yeah.
And his son got benched at halftime for playing so poorly. So that was odd.
Wow.
But then the following week, there's Plaxico. Seemed like such a good guy. And the whole time in the back of my mind, I'm thinking all those awful things I've said about him, I hope to God he never caught wind of them.
And he didn't say anything to you?
No,
so
nothing.
Yeah.
I'm assuming
wow.
he just never
wow.
cared
wow.
about things that I said?
For me, it would probably be an interaction, not on the air, but off the air with Doug Collins about 6-7 years ago, whatever that would be, 8 years ago. To this day, I just don't know why he was mad at me. I asked a question at a press conference. I thought it was a totally innocuous question. I don't even remember what it was, but he glared at me and then answered the question, and it was a really rough answer. And I remember thinking, well, that's weird. Like, I really don't know why he was so bothered by this. I'm telling you, it was a random, regular question. And then after that, as he kind of gets off it was like a little step up podium, if I remember, whatever it was, but in the media room. And then he like made a beeline over to me and like kind of like started chewing me out. He's like, who do you work for? You know, he said, who do you write for?
Get out of here.
Who do you write for?
I said,
I don't write. I'm a talk show host. And then there might have been a curse or two. And it was it was a rough encounter. And I was like, I mean, I was very taken aback.
I would be too.
And I really didn't. I honestly did not understand why. I never to this day have understood why. I've heard many people say he's a very nice guy and all.
You need to get Doug on the show, it sounds like, huh?
I don't know. I do respect the fact that coaches and athletes, when they're in those settings, they've just played or coached. Half the times they've lost, you know, there's a lot on the line, and they can really be steamed. So I try to just sort of, you know, just take it as no big deal. But it was awkward and honestly uncomfortable.
All right. Good question from Lena on Twitter. As I would like to know your answer to this, Joe, being the Eagles historian that you are. Excluding the Super Bowl, what is the best moment in Eagles history?
Excluding the Super Bowl, what is the best moment in Eagles history?
And obviously, we weren't alive for 1960. I'm sure that was for
people.
Well,
I mean, yeah. I mean, you'd have to.
Let's take for you. Let's say during your lifetime, because
my lifetime.
Yeah, your lifetime.
All right, because otherwise, I mean, listen, I was.
It's 1960.
All right, hold on. I was two when the Eagles made the Super Bowl beating Dallas. But if you're saying that doesn't count because I didn't see that,
your best. Let's go with your best moment in Eagles history.
I would say it's the 04 team getting to the Super Bowl. That was a big deal. I mean, four straight years in the conference title games and having lost two of the prior three at home and, you know, signing T.O. and Javon, having that magical 0-1, knowing the T.O. had gotten hurt. I'll never – guys, I swear to God, as long as I live, I will never forget. Howard Eskin and I looked directly at each other at the moment that Rick Burkhalter, live on WIP, announced that T.O. was out, like broken ankle, whatever the heck. Like, big injury. It was the day after the Cowboys game. And we were airing the press conference live. I think it was Andy and Burkhalter together, if I remember. And Howard had this look of horror on his face because this was like the magic carpet ride year. And because I was Howard's producer. And, you know, they had to win in the playoffs without T.O. And, you know, they did. But it was the culmination of a lot of stuff. And it was a fun day down there at the link. And it was a big deal. And the defense being able to celebrate with Jim Johnson and Andy running off, it was great. It was a really, really great day.
Yeah, if it was like surreal to actually have our team in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
it really was
awesome. And, you know, Chad Lewis caught the ball. Look, I've always wondered what would have happened if Chad Lewis hadn't got hurt. Could that have changed? I mean, he catches his second touchdown of the day and breaks his foot on the play that seals the victory.
As he's called it, the greatest, worst day of his life.
Yeah.
All right.
And that for me, that was like 2 days after my son was born. My first child was born.
Wow.
And Hank Fraley's son was just born. And we were celebrating that as well. Huge time for that team.
Oh, tremendous.
But also for
tremendous.
Me personally.
All right, one more. J-Mac on Twitter has a funny question. If you had to do a face-off with a celebrity, who are you picking to switch faces with?
Hmm.
I mean, I guess Elizabeth Shue, right?
What?
Sure.
Whoa.
I'd get to look in a mirror and see Elizabeth Shue.
Did you misunderstand? Okay. you want to be Liz Shue.
You realize you have to walk around the world with this face. Like, you're Elizabeth Shue now.
I'm better
I
want to
be Chris Hemsworth.
See, and that's the answer. That's well done right there.
Elizabeth Shue.
Sure.
You get to switch faces with anyone in the galaxy.
Yeah.
And you want, just like... Well, he did want to be Lucille Ball.
You're going to, like, kiss the mirror and stuff?
I don't know if I'm kissing the mirror, but if I mean, that would be wonderful. I mean, it would be a tremendous upgrade, because my face, not very good looking.
Well, we know.
So this would be a tremendous upgrade. So, yes, I'll roll with Elizabeth Shue's face the rest of my life. And with that.
You have your body.
Yeah, that's the point.
I'm not saying it's not awkward.
Mishu's face on your body.
I'm just saying.
What a strange life you have.
I don't know. What are you going to do? And with that, we shut it down. All right, 215-592-9494. A lot of conversation.
Can we start calling you Lizzie? Can we add that to the nicknames?
Hey, a lot of conversation today about Joe Girardi. And as I said at the start of the show, I'm really disappointed in Girardi. The latest snafu last night, only the latest, but one of many now. I mean, if you missed it last night, you know, lineup card is not properly set, so the relief pitcher the Phillies bring in, who they had called up from the minors, ineligible to pitch in the game, creates a domino effect where David Hell's got to pitch. Then you got to go to JoJo Romero. They almost lose the game. They don't, but it was bad. And I just, you know, I just feel like we've seen a lot of small and or bigger mistakes from Girardi that lead me to be incredibly underwhelmed by him and frankly disappointed with Girardi as the manager of the Phils. I expected a lot more. Look, there's very few people in Philadelphia sports when a Philadelphia team hires a coach or a general manager where I feel like there's a real, I mean real, true adult in the room. And, you know, Larry Brown certainly represented one for the Sixers, and he came through. Pat Gillick represented one for the Phils. He came through. Hitchcock with the Flyers. LaViolette with the Flyers. I'd even say Lane Vigneault with the Flyers last year. Now, things have gone off the rails this year. But where you get a guy with a track record and you say to yourself as a fan, wow, this is good. My team's got one of the best. And now here we are last year and now this year with the Phils. And I say to myself, Girardi's far from one of the best. That I feel that I was flat out wrong in thinking this guy was so good or great. I am incredibly not only underwhelmed but disappointed, and I think he has, frankly, been a major disappointment to this point as the manager of the Phils for a whole host of reasons.
I'm disappointed too, but I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that he will get the ship righted, and he's not going to be making proofreading mistakes in the future, and he's not going to forget that he's already been to the mound in the future. He's got a track record. He's widely respected with good reason. Yes, it's not been perfect, but it's still, it's only 90 games at this point. He's managed the Phillies for 90 games. And I'm positive that he's been sort of grappling with this inner struggle. How do I do a better job, you know, than the way things ended up going down in New York, where, as I left, you know, Brian Cashman saying that I can't connect with the young crop of players. He's trying to do a better job with that. And I think right now he's erring too much to the side of leniency, and that's coming back to haunt us in some ways. I think he'll figure it out, though.
Well, we'll see where everyone stands. 215-592-9494. Do you agree with me that Girardi's been a major disappointment to this point as the Phils manager? I mean, I'll just say this, with greater talent than Kapler, and I believe that, no question, greater talent than Kapler, I think the base running's gotten worse. I think the defense has gotten worse. You know, for all the talk about Kapler's first week and some of the bizarro things that happened, we've now seen Girardi with a lineup card snafu. We saw him with a second mound visit snafu. I think some of the parts he puts in and out sometimes just don't make sense. Like when he intentionally walked the go-ahead runner about a week ago, put him on first base. I didn't get that. I thought it was stupid. I think he sounds light on his players. You know, after the game, Roman Quinn doesn't know how to bunt. Like, it's like, dude, grab a bat and work every day at bunting. And it's Joe Girardi's job to make sure Roman Quinn does that so his freaking hand doesn't fall off trying to bunt a baseball. I am incredibly underwhelmed, puts it mildly. I'm really disappointed in Girardi.
I'm really disappointed in these players also. Aside from the big name guys who they're outperforming my expectations.
They're doing great.
You know, yeah. JT and Bryce and Reese, they've been better than I could have hoped. But the rest of the guys, they need to pick it up too. And that's not just on Joe Girardi. Alec Bohm needs to get back to doing what he was doing last year. And some of it's bad luck.
Yep.
I think that will change. But, you know, Roman Quinn's bad. Our center field position, bad. David Hale, terrible.
Oh, that guy's
just
awful.
Terrible.
That guy's terrible.
He's not a major league pitcher.
No, he's got to go.
Matt Moore, also, by the way, just terrible. Yeah. He's working with some bum pieces.
Pretty soon, I'll take Roman Quinn back pitching again instead of.
I mean, again, we talk about Roman Quinn all the time, but how about Odubel Herrera? Roman Quinn has been better than Odubel Herrera.
There's no question about it. Yep. All right, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park, which is looking to hire for a wide variety of positions. If you're looking to join a winning team, go to DelawarePark.com/careers for information. Today's question, has Joe Girardi been a disappointment as the manager of the Phillies? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's go to the phones, talk to Rodriguez right now. What's going on, Rodriguez?
Hey, mis amigos. ¿Qué pasó?
Doing well. Estamos buenos.
Estamos bien.
Estamos bien.
I love you, Rodriguez.
A lot of rain here in Middletown, man.
Yeah, I know. A lot of rain here, too, in Philly.
Yeah,
kind of off and
down.
On, but mostly on.
Hey, let me tell you something about moonlighting. Leave it alone. I would say leave it alone, man.
Why?
That's a series that I tried to watch back in the day. I remember I was in my early 30s.
Yep.
I'm 61. And I tried watching the show, and there weren't that many shows at that time, you know, the way they are today. And, man, I couldn't get past 5 episodes.
Well, Ben, I loved it.
Yeah, I did,
back
too.
In the day. Yeah. I thought it was so unique.
I just couldn't, man. I didn't like the show. Sybil Shepherd was trying too much to be funny, and I didn't find her funny.
But you got to love the banter.
The banter.
The quick banter back and forth between David and what was her name on the show?
Maddie.
David and Maddie.
Yeah. It was all right, man. But it just didn't work for me. So I think I watched maybe 7 or 8 shows, and that was it for me. And here's the reason why you can't find it in DVD. I don't think it's well recommended.
No. I'll tell you the reason, because I looked into it. The reason Moonlighting's hard to find on DVD, it's an amazing thing. It has to do with that show, that series, frequently used famous songs on the show. And they were able to get away with it 30 years ago on TV, but something about copyright rules...
That's fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The production company doesn't, whoever owns it,
it's not worth it.
Doesn't want to put it on widespread distribution. And that's why it's hard to find. Yep. Huh. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's why you can't find Happy Days after season 6.
Because
of the copyright, you know?
Wow. Okay. Huh. All right, what do you got on Joe Girardi, Rodriguez?
Listen, man, we got to give this guy some time. You know, last year. He last year everybody had a bad season. It wasn't good. This thing was going on. You know, right now, you know, let the man put it together. You know, I think he's a great coach. He's been proven in the past. Greatness don't happen overnight. I think that you got to give the man a chance. And listen, Philadelphia.
I'm giving him Rodriguez. I'm giving him a chance, but I'll say this clearly. He's got to be way better.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I think he will be. And what about the fact that these stars are playing at their highest level that we've seen?
Absolutely.
That has to count for something.
All right, Rodriguez, give me something perfect.
I think the time, I'm going back to 1978, when Muhammad Ali won the championship for the third time, and I told my brother, if he beats Leon Spinks in the rematch, he'll be perfect. And he did. I know he messed it up when he came back and lost to Larry Holmes, but he was perfect. He beat everybody who beat him. So I thought at the time, that's perfection.
All right, man. You got it, Rodriguez. Now, I got to say, Rocky Marciano.
It's exactly what I was thinking when he said it.
It's a better answer.
It's just a better answer.
I mean, Marciano went
out.
What was 49 for 49?
49 for 49.
That's perfect. And my recollection is that Holmes had a chance to tie Marciano's record. And that's when Holmes lost to Leon Spinks' brother, Michael Spinks. I believe Holmes, was one fight away from tying Marciano's perfect
Michael
record.
Spinks, the guy who got knocked out in 88 seconds
Correct.
By Tyson?
Yeah, 91 or 93. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And then Holmes ended up fighting Tyson. And Holmes actually hung in there for like 3 or 4 rounds. And then Tyson said, okay, enough of you. Let's go to the Sledgehammer, Mark in Collegeville. Yo, Sledge.
Hey, Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, buddy.
Lord Vicious, how you doing, Richie?
Yeah, what's up, man? Lord Hammer, the official.
The official and one and only that matters.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cut right to the chase here. Man, David, why is he even still on the roster? Like, he's horrible. Him, Matt Moore, Chase Anderson. Why are they even still on the roster?
Yeah, I hope when some of the injured relievers get back that the veterans that were designated to be on this team from the start are shown the door. Because David Hale's
I think
terrible.
It's likely.
I don't know.
David Hale, yeah, but it's like every time David Hale gets into the game, nothing good happens. He gives up multiple hits. Gives up runs. I mean, look, he almost blew the game last night, and then they had to go and bring in JoJo. And they didn't even want to use JoJo.
Well, and then JoJo didn't do so good. It was really not till they got to, Coonrad?
Yeah, Coonrad was good.
Yeah, Coonrad was, yeah.
And then another pet peeve of mine with the Phillies lately is Girardi. The only responsibility amongst others, but the main thing before the game even starts is his sole responsibility to make sure everything with the lineup card is squared away. That's no one else's responsibility but his. How can you mess that up?
I agree, man. Sledge, I'm with you. Sledge, give me something that's perfect. Certainly Joe Girardi was not last night. What do you got?
Definitely not, but I'm glad no one took this. I'm surprised no one did. The most perfect entity known to man, God.
God, wow. You get into a very dicey territory there.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, let's go to Russ in Freehold while we try
big
to figure
answer.
Out how we're going to vote on that one at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Russ in Freehold. What's up, Russ?
How you guys doing today?
Doing well, Russ.
John, I'm going to agree with you on your Phillies take. I mean, I don't think that Girardi thought he was going to have to, show these guys how to bunt and run bases, and he's calling down to the bullpen is like playing Russian roulette at this point. It's like Deer Hunter at the end there, There's probably a bullet there, although, it's just not going to work out. So I agree with you there. On the Eagles, I think 3 first-round picks next year. I'm going to be honest. I'm excited about the team. There's a lot of unknowns. We don't know if Sirianni could coach. We don't know. I don't know what the defense is going to look like because I've seen the same – off coverage for the last 4 years, we're letting up 28 points a game. So I'm curious about that. Mm-hmm. But I want to know what you guys think of the ceiling for Jalen Hurts. Like, what's your realistic expectation to – because I think at the end of this season, we're going to say, are we going to go forward with him or are we going to get another quarterback? So are we looking at Wentz's rookie numbers as a comparable thing or something else?
Well, I think it'll look a lot different. I expect – well, I hope that we run the ball more, and I hope that he's a big part of that because he's very talented when we do that, and it puts the defense in a real bind. So his numbers will be skewed more toward, 600 yards rushing, I would imagine.
Better passing numbers?
Probably not. I don't remember what Carson's rookie numbers looked like. Passing wise, I know it's not going to be as it was way skewed to the positive
and
in his second year.
And Carson threw a lot, which I don't think they'll have Hurts throw quite that much. Russ,
on how much Howie has to say about it, but yeah, I guess.
All right, let me answer the question this way because I don't want to get caught up in numbers. I will tell you that if I had to predict, I think Jalen Hurts will not be the Eagles starting quarterback in 2023.
Okay.
Now he might look.
2022. See, I think this is a 1 year tryout.
I agree with you, but
why 2022 would he be?
So here, Russ, here's why I said 2023. I think it's certainly entirely possible the Eagles will try to move off of Hurts after this next year. The reason I went...
My gut says that they will try to move
off. I think so, too. The only reason I said 2023 is it's not always easy to get the new quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so I was just hedging it a little bit, saying, hey, it might
But it is easy when you've got 3 first-round picks. It's much easier.
It's easier, yeah, for sure. But, Russ, my gut feeling is that Jalen Hurts will not be the longtime franchise quarterback of the Eagles. I hope I'm wrong, meaning I hope the guy plays great and this guy turns into something special. We'll see.
And he has a chance.
I just think with this draft and 3 first-round picks, and we're well under the cap next year. We can actually be players in the free agent market. Between the 3 first-round picks and the second-round pick, I'm plugging in 3 starters plus free agency. if he comes off a good season this year, I mean, I think there's room to be optimistic now. There's unknowns with the coaching staff and the defense, what that's going to look like first year. I expect bumps, but I mean, I think, John, you still at a C-minus after hearing Landon talk? I mean, for this draft grade? I'm just asking.
Well, I don't think he said.
I did not know.
He didn't say a C-.
Hearing Landon talk did not change the way I feel about the draft class. Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to be awesome if he's healthy, but I don't think he'll be healthy.
All right, Russ, give me what you got here, something that's perfect. What do you got?
You'd know if you had a bad one. When you get that perfect steak that is cooked to perfection,
it's an interesting
there's
answer.
Nothing better.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting answer. Love a good steak. 215-592-9494. That's one of many food items I'm looking for Spike Eskin to get us on our five-year anniversary in 5 months.
Yes. Cosine.
Willie?
I'm Spike Eskin.
No, that's my prediction.
No, I don't. If I had to predict, I'm guessing we get nothing, is my guess.
Do we even get a cake for a five-year anniversary?
No, I'm wondering if he's going to even give us a, like, nice job or one of those. I think it'll just be like a normal day.
Hey, attaboy. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie. Hey, 1245, Ray Dittinger on the draft. We'll cover it all with Ray. And also, Ray's thoughts on Girardi. I mean, does he agree with my contention? Girardi's been a big disappointment to this point. All up ahead, Ray at 1245, phone calls all show on 94WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.